Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with my special guest host, Minister Harold Copeland. And we are back again today to continue in our teaching series, Are You Satisfied with Jesus? I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, this teaching lesson is an enlightenment. It is a delight. Are you satisfied, is the question, with Jesus? Not something so profound, not something that we have to think really, really hard about. But this may be a question of thought for someone who has not accepted Christ as Lord. This may not be a question for them. For you who's accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, are you satisfied with Jesus? Mission from the Heart is starting this new series. Why? So that we can come to a deep and intimate relationship with Christ Jesus. Now, don't miss that. A deep and intimacy with Christ Jesus. Now, if you are already in that place with Christ, yay, God, hallelujah. But the Bible has revealed from generation to generation, from Genesis to Revelation, of the coming Messiah, that wicked man be redeemed through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me put it simply, my brothers and sisters. Jesus going through death and Christ coming in resurrection to bring the believers into the Father. The book of John has two main sections. The first section, chapters 1 through 13, reveals Christ as the eternal Word. Came through incarnation to bring God into man. The second section, chapters 14 through 21, unveils how Christ as the man Jesus went through death and resurrection to bring man into God for the building of the church. And you can cross-reference that in Matthew 16, verse 18. Now, with no further delay, Minister Copeland and myself, Carnita Smith, are going to continue in this wonderful teaching series, part two. Are you satisfied with Jesus? Minister Copeland?
Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Hello, everybody. Shalom. God bless you. I am Brother Harold Copeland, and along with our host, Minister Carnita Smith, we are in studio together again. We'd like to welcome everyone to Mission from the Heart Radio. And we want you to know that it's an honor and a privilege to fellowship with you again concerning the truth of the Word of God. We want you to know that we love you. We appreciate you. And we thank God for your lives. But most importantly, God loves you. And God has a plan for your life. And every time you open your heart to receive the truth of the Word of God, God is downloading revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit into your heart. And this revelation knowledge will lead you into your divine destiny and plan that God has for your life. And you too shall stand and proclamate the oracles of God to a lost and dying world. As was said earlier, we're on this wonderful series we entitled, Are You Satisfied with Jesus? I'm so excited about this series. This is a life-changing series. And I tell you, every time you listen to this particular series, God is doing a supernatural work, transformation into your heart and into your mind and your soul. Your miracle is taking place. By the time we finish this series, you will encounter your miracle that God has for you. And that miracle, as was said earlier, is a deep, intimate relationship with Abba Father. We understand that Ephesians 1 and 3 tell us that he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In other words, we already got it. And as we learn of this deep intimacy, we'll learn how to rest and how much he loves us, the abundance of love that he has for us. And he is our provider, Jehovah Jireh, and we'll rest in him. We'll learn to rest in our miracle and allow the divine light to shine through us. And this old, you know, light shines the brightest in darkness. And this old dark world will see that light and they'll come running toward us and encounter and say, what is it? What, that's just something. That's just something about you. I'm so excited. We're going to dive right on into this teaching. And as you know, we always like to start out by reading our lunch pad scripture. And our lunch pad scripture for this series comes out of the book of John, chapter 14, starting with verse 1 through verse 10. Let us read that, please.
John 14, 1 through 10. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Verse 8, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the work." Verse 11, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments." Verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." Amen.
Amen. Let us dive into the teaching. And as we start off, we want to hear from a mighty man of God through the scriptures, a man of God that was miraculously transformed by the Spirit of God into a deep intimacy with Jesus Christ. And by the Spirit, he fulfilled that scripture that the works I do, you may do also. He walked and looked like Jesus better than any other man that we have encountered in the scriptures. We're talking about the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul wants to continue this teaching for us by speaking to us out of 2 Corinthians. That will be 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we want to read verse 16.
2 Corinthians 5. 16, "Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer." Amen.
Amen. Now, when the Apostle Paul said he had known Jesus after the flesh, Paul was referring to being a student of Gamaliel and living in Jerusalem. Let's go to the book of Acts. The book of Acts is known as the history book, the history of the New Testament church. The book of Acts, chapter 22, and we want to read
2, verse 3. "I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God as you all are today. Amen.
Amen. Now, certainly, Paul had seen Jesus many times during Jesus' ministry in Jerusalem. Certainly, Paul could have recognized Jesus and described his physical features. But Paul obviously missed who Jesus really was until his encounter with the resurrected Jesus on the road to Damascus. Let's read about that encounter still in the book of Acts. The 9th chapter, and we want to read, starting with verse 1 through verse 8.
Acts 9, verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were on the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what," verse 7, "and the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one." Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him in to Damascus. Amen.
Amen. Now, after that encounter, Paul knew Jesus, not by the flesh, but in his Noah. And see, that Noah is the deep intimacy of the inner man, the hidden man of the heart. And that Noah, that inner being, that spiritual being, the very life of Christ begins to come and live, and Jesus used the word abide. The life of Christ began to abide in us. Yes. In our life, not that person you see in the mirror, and not the one that's thinking all the time, our own understanding, our own thoughts. But our life, that spiritual being on the inside of us, come alive, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and we come one with the life of Jesus, even to the point where Paul says, it's no longer I, but it's Christ, and he's living his life in us. And when we, it's a miracle. Oh, yes, it is. It's a miracle. It's the first miracle we receive from God. It's the greatest miracle. Any other miracle we need, healing, deliverance, prosperity, protection, those are a piece of cake for Jesus, because Jesus gave us the greatest miracle that anybody can receive. And the devil can stop it. He gave us his very life. Glory to God. His very resurrected life. Living on the inside of us. And as Apostle the Paul said, it's no longer I. What Paul was saying is, the I in me is not I. Christ has become my I. Christ has become the I, the life. Christ has become the life on the inside of me. That's a miracle. And we, once we encounter this miracle, we can begin to look inside. We no longer look for Jesus in others. Thank God others have Jesus. And we no longer look for Jesus behind the clouds, seated on the throne. But now we begin to look inward into our hearts, and we see the life. We see another life. We see a new life. You know, and I thank God for that life, because my first life, the one that came out of mama's womb, that life was a magnet to this world, and the world is full of nothing but sin, and that's all that world, that life wanted to do was connect to the world and to get satisfied, get some satisfaction from doing the things of the world. And the things of the world are against God. So that first life was like grown that I had. I'm talking about myself. That I had was grown to sin. I was a sinner. And I was on my way to hell. And I encountered. Maybe I heard somebody talking about Jesus. Maybe I went to a church service and the preacher was telling me that I need Jesus. It could have been the choir singing a song about Jesus being my friend. I don't know how it happened, but I know something on the inside saw emptiness and saw that what I was doing with the things of the world, I was trying to feel an empty void on the inside of me. And it wasn't working, because I had to do it over and over and over and over again. And it still didn't satisfy me. None of it still didn't satisfy me. But my inner being kept saying, more, 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 more. But it never satisfied me. And the light came on and said, you're putting the wrong thing in. And if you keep putting the wrong thing in, then the wrong things are going to come out. And you're going to be doing the wrong thing. And this Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, began to draw me to him. And I began to learn that it wasn't about me anymore. If I make it about me, then I'm going to be God. I'm going to be in control. I'm going to drive the car. The car of my life, I was a horrible driver. I was a wreck waiting to happen. The plane of my life, when I was the pilot, you better pray. Because the plane always went down, but it didn't go down at the right destination. I wasn't satisfied with what I was putting in because I was putting the wrong thing in. But I heard that not, was it the church service? Was it the choir? Was it somebody sitting in the service that they had this Jesus and I saw a glow on them, I saw a light on them? Whatever it was, it showed me my need for a Lord and a Savior. And I opened my heart and I asked him to come in and live with me. I needed his life. I didn't need my life no more. My life had to die so Jesus' life can come alive on the inside of me. And the Spirit of God is taking me in this direction, and I hadn't planned to go in this direction. But every time the Spirit of God comes, I know it's my sign that I got to stop. I got to drop. And I got to pray because the Holy Spirit is pulling somebody's heart to the Lord. Whether it's somebody that never knew the Lord before, or whether it's somebody that walked with the Lord for a season and let the cares of the world pull them back into that way of unsatisfaction. But this is the moment and this is the time where satisfaction is knocking on the door of your heart. And God has anointed Minister Smith with a salvation anointing to take us to the cross. So I'm going to stop, drop, and pray and turn the mic over to Minister Smith and let her take us to the cross. Minister Smith.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Minister Copeland. This is our opportunity on the broadcast to stop, drop, and pray is what we like to call that this opportunity. Stop, drop, and pray. And we are serious about this time and moment. And it is a serious time and moment that we live in today. And for people to come to know Christ in the pardoning of their sin. Why? Because of what Jesus did on the cross. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Romans 5:1. For God so loved the world that he gave his only, one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's the movement from death to life, according to what Minister Copeland just shared with us, indicating that wrong things in, wrong things out. So this is our opportunity, my brothers and sisters, to give your life to Christ. Give it, surrender it to God. He has come that we may have life and that we may have it more abundantly. More abundantly, as we stop, drop, and pray, let's go to the feet of Jesus, to the feet of Jesus, to surrender it all. So my brothers and sisters, partner with us who may be listening to this broadcast today. Partner with us in prayer. And for you who have not said, now is the time, because God has provided it today for you. Now it's up to you to surrender it all to him on this day. So let's go to the feet of Jesus in prayer that you may have a right to the tree of life. So let's pray. Here I am. Here I am today, surrendering my life, my heart, my mind to you. I was on the way to hell because I know this because of my life that I live. Lord, I did things that were contrary to what your word teaches me, has taught me up to this point. I lied and said some things that were not righteous toward you. I have thoughts that did not keep me in a place of light. My thoughts kept me in darkness through depression, through anxiety. Lord, you are my light. You are my wondrous light. And here on bended knee, here as I lay prostrate before you, here as I bow my head at your feet, I surrender my arms to you as an offering of myself, hallelujah, to you to come into me, reside in me. Lord, I love you. I trust you by faith. I trust you, Lord, because I need a Savior. I trust you. I love you, and I surrender. Lord, all I know how to do is anchor my soul. Your word is my light. Jesus died for me that my sin would be covered. And I thank you and I trust you. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, I come to you in prayer. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, my brothers and sisters, for partnering with us in prayer, Minister Copeland and I, as we take this opportunity to stop, drop, and pray for the one, that one, who has given their life to Christ today. We shout, we sing praises unto the Lord that you are now set free. Hallelujah. That the shackles of life in this wicked world have been dropped off of you, have been opened for your heart to run free in grace. You have been set free from the shackles that held you bondage in thought, word, and deed. So now we sing hallelujah. We encourage you to seek the Lord through a Bible-believing church, one in your community that will continue to disciple you, that will grow you in grace. Why do we need growth? So that you can go and tell others about the good news of Jesus Christ. Tell them your testimony, that you would be baptized by submersion of water, that you would let the world know that you are now a Christ follower. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So seek out a small group, Sunday school class maybe, in your church community, that you will grow and go. Now, yes, you are set free. And yes, Jesus lives and resides in you by way of the Holy Spirit. Yes, this is true, my brother, my sister. But the enemy will try his best to bring you back to a lifestyle that is contrary to what the word says. But remember the word that says, greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. That, my brothers and sisters, greater is he that is within you
then he, lowercase h, e, that is in the world. Hallelujah. So remember that God holds you and he is your life, that no man can come to him but by you and Jesus Christ alone. Is your way, he is your life, and he is your truth. Praise the Lord. We are so excited that you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. So with no further delay, Minister Copeland will come back and continue with us in the lesson. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Minister Copeland?
Praise the Lord. I would like to welcome my brothers and sisters into the family of God. I say congratulations. And those that came back home, welcome back into the loving arms of the loving Father. And just bask in his love, for he loves you with an abundance of love and never an everlasting love. And there is nothing on this earth that can separate you from the love of God. God's Spirit is in you, and all of your sins are forgiven. And you may say, oh, that's good because I did some bad things. No, it's even better, because the sins you may commit today are forgiven. Let me put myself in there. The sins we may commit today are already forgiven by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. If we sin tomorrow, they're already forgiven. It's a miracle, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And if we sin next week, those sins are already forgiven. And that demonstrates the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And it also shows you, give you a glimpse of how much the Father loves you. And we thank God for the Father's heart of love. And it's only by this great Spirit that he has placed in us. And we talked about Paul on the road to Damascus. See, Paul knew of Jesus according to the physical and according to the flesh. But on the road to Damascus, he encountered Jesus by the Spirit. His spiritual eyes was opened. And that empty void that was on the inside of him was filled by the Holy Spirit. A new life came. And you receive that same new life. And it's by this new life we know God. We know Jesus in another form, which is a spiritual form, a supernatural form, a divine form. And that's the only way we could know him, is by the Spirit. We no longer, if that scripture read, we no longer can know him by the flesh. Amen. He's not in that flesh suit anymore. Guess what? He's in our flesh suit, but he is in our spiritual compartment. Amen. We have a spiritual compartment, which is the inner being, the inner man, the hidden man of the heart, the spiritual man that was born again, that would just happen. Your spirit man got born again. A new birth, a supernatural birth. Your divine identity is coming forth. And what divine identity means, the reason God put you here on the earth. It really wasn't mama plan. It really wasn't daddy plan. But it was divinely used of God God needed their DNA to get you here so he can use you to do his will. And as we proceed on, we say, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. That's another form in the spirit. The spirit is like a cell phone placed on the inside of us, but it can only call one number. Amen. And every time we operate out of the spirit, we're always going to God. We always talking to God. We always praising God. We always worshiping him. Why? John 4:24 tell us, God is a spirit. And they that worship him, and see that word worship takes on a connotation as fellowship. Those that have any fellowship, any interaction with God must, very important word, worship, fellowship him in spirit. That supernatural cell phone. In spirit and in truth. The spirit always want to talk to God. The spirit on the inside of you. Always. Always going to God. Always crying out to God. Always in touch with God. Another form. And that's why we have to know God in another form, not by our intellect, not according to our reasoning. And I'm sure there's some out there in radio land that got degrees, bachelors, masters, doctors. I'm sure there's some out there in radio land that got two or three doctorates. But that intellect will never be high enough to take you to commune with God. The only way we can commune with God is through this great spirit, his spirit to spirit that he has given us. And when Paul encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, to do wrong, and I hope I can use the word, to do dirt. He wasn't going to do any good, but he was interrupted with a divine encounter. And maybe some of you, maybe some of us, our minds was focused on doing some dirt or doing some wrong today, but we divinely encountered Jesus in another form. And it's only when the eyes of our understanding be enlightened and we begin to see Jesus by the Spirit that we can be satisfied, that we can be satisfied with him, because his word will come alive on us and the truth will begin to be released in us, and we begin to know the truth, and our knower begin to come one with truth. And the Bible tells us that the truth that we know, we come one with, will make us free. Hallelujah. And see, we're free now. Glory to God. And as Dr. Martin Luther King said, under the power of the Spirit of God, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we're free. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm free. Amen. I feel freedom all in the atmosphere. I feel freedom all across the radio waves. I sense shackles being destroyed. That we were shackled to. I feel it being destroyed. I feel chained, that we were chained. Chains being destroyed. Ropes untied. That used to go backwards and tried to move forward, but end up taking one step forward and two step back. No more backwards journey. I prophesy. I speak over your life. No more backwards journey. No more going around in circles. Glory to God. Amen. As the Apostle Paul say, it's time to press on. Come on, we're pressing on today. We're pressing on in the Word of God. We pressing on in the knowledge that Jesus has already satisfied us. We pressing on when we hear in the spirit Jesus echoing on the cross, it is finished. It's finished. And we rest in the finished work of the cross. It's a Sabbath work, a Sabbath rest, knowing that Jesus, God, when God created the world, the heavens and the earth, six-day creation, we call it, he rests on the Sabbath. And see, this is a Sabbath rest. And Jesus on the cross destroyed all the power of the enemy that would try to hinder us from resting. And it's all been destroyed. That's why he said, it is finished. He finished it. God made everything available. Then Jesus finished it by destroying all the power of the enemy. And now we rest. Just like God rests on the Sabbath. And Jesus finished it. And the Jews rest on what they call the Sabbath, which is, well, their Saturday, but that's under the law. We're no longer under the law, so we as a people, we begin to rest on Sunday because Jesus rose on that third day. But this Sabbath rest that we have by the Spirit of God that satisfies us, it's not just one day. Every day we get up, we enter into a Sabbath rest. We enter into the finished work of the cross because God has already provided all of our needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. And we rest from our labors. We rest in our healing. We rest in our deliverance. We rest in our prosperity. We rest in the protection of God. We rest in the agape love of God. We rest in joy in every circumstance, in every situation. Joy at the mountain, joy in the valley. We rest. Peace. Be still in the midst of every storm. We rest because Jesus has came in the inside of us, and he has taken the place of our rest. He has become our rest. And we release the spirit of rest in the studio. We release the spirit of rest in the heart and the minds and the souls and the body of God's people. We release the spirit of rest through and through and through and through. We release the spirit of rest across the radio waves, into your households, into your marriage, into the lives of your children, into your friends. And listen, we even release rest to those that want to make themselves your enemies. And we release the power of God to bring them into repentance and to a place of salvation and deliverance. I love you. Minister Smith loves you. But most importantly, God loves you. And your miracle is here waiting for you. And all you have to do is rest and be satisfied with what Jesus has already done for you and me. And the way we show God that we have faith in what he's already done in with the scripture, I begin with, I love the word of God, but I have to say this, my favorite scripture, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. You're worthy of the praise. You're worthy of the praise. You're worthy of the praise. And as I go, I release the blessing upon your life. May the grace of God go before you. May the peace of God rest upon you. And may the love of God work in you and flow through you, that others may see his love and come right in and say, what must I do to be saved? In Jesus' name, salam, God bless you. Minister Smith.
Praise God, praise God. Thank you so much, my brother. You know, God's word is just a comfort to the soul. God's word ministers to us all if you let it minister to you. And when you become so intimate with Christ, the word is what takes place in us to build us up, to strengthen us, to comfort us, to release us from that trash, that garbage that keeps us shackled down, in bondage, if you will. Always know that the word of God is the word that breathes upon us, that soothes the soul, that shuts the mouth of our enemy. It's the word. It is our sword, and it is our shield. It is the very food that we need for our soul. It empowers us. It grows us. It's the nourishment, the fertilizer of our soul. And so we just want you to continue to share Mission from the Heart Radio with others in your circle of influence, with your mother, with your father, with your brother, sister, or a close friend. Just share the ministry with others. God will do the rest as long as you stay faithful. Just share the ministry with others. And you continue in the ministry of Mission from the Heart, being a faithful listener to Mission from the Heart. Now, what are we doing? All we're doing is staying connected as brothers and sisters in Christ for the building up kingdom, that when others need to be enriched, empowered, strengthened, loved on, prayed for, and yes, even the ministry of salvation through Jesus Christ, we're here. So always remember that the grass wither and the flowers faded season after season, but the word of God, the strength of the word of God, the empowerment of the word of God, the building up of the word of God remains through us
amongst us as the unity of the faith forever and ever and ever. God bless you, my brothers and sisters. Minister Harold Copeland and I love you with the love of Christ. As you continue in your day, allow it to be a day of rejoicing and a day of favor. God bless you and remain in his will.